This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If you happen to take a ride on the red or orange lines around noon this past Sunday, you probably aren't feeling too warm and fuzzy about the MBTA right now. Riders were trapped underground for almost an hour because a circuit blew at the T's control center, which it turns out, up until then, did not have a backup generator. The trains all had power, but without radio contact with controllers, they couldn't go anywhere. If you're someone who regularly suffers the perils and inconveniences that result from the T's stunning maintenance backlog, it might surprise you to learn that, fiscally speaking, the T seems to have gotten itself back on track this year. After facing a $160 million budget deficit last summer, all of a sudden the T this year is posting a modest budget surplus. Really a very, very modest one, just $1.2 million. But for an agency weighted down with debt and one that hasn't been in the black since 2005, good news is big news. At least some of that accomplishment is due to the work of Richard Davey, who came on board as the T's new general manager back in March. And he joins me now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Richard Davey.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And listeners, red line, blue line, green line, orange line, bus riders and commuter rail riders, we are interested in finding out what this positive bit of news means for you.
Don't forget the boats.
And the boats across the harbor, thank you. But we also want to hear any questions that you have for Richard Davey. This is your chance to speak to the highest level manager at the MBTA. So give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Mr. Davey, you actually haven't been on the job all that long, just since March, and some people may not actually be all that familiar with you. Just before the show got started, I asked you how old you are, and you said, how old are you?
37.
A mere 37.
Indeed.
And running a huge transit system. So how is it that you ended up being head of the MBTA?
Well, quite frankly, the governor and the secretary and I spoke about taking the job and looking at what their vision was improving the service, improving the safety of the MBTA. I said yes, that I could absolutely sign up with that kind of a vision. But before that, I ran commuter rail for 2 years, MBCR, which is a private company, operates and maintains the commuter rail on behalf of the T, and I had been there for about 7 years. So natural, I think, transition for me. I had already run the commuter rail, which is about 500 trains a day, 1,800 employees, and was very familiar with the MBTA's challenges and needs, and also their staff, and also the good work they do. So I'll tell you, as much as it's a tough job, there's a lot of challenges, I love it. It's a great job. There are a lot of good people that work at the T, and we have a lot of great customers as well who we move every day.
Well, your customers form 10% of the state of Massachusetts, so
a huge amount
of people rely on this system every single day. And the challenges are not insignificant. They are as massive as basically any transit system in the country. So let me ask you, how is it that the T went from having that $160 million budget deficit or gap last year to, you know, eking out just being in the black by a tiny bit this year?
Sure.
Where'd the turnaround come from?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, first of all, the governor and the legislature stepped up and provided a gap of revenue to us 2 years ago with the sales tax increase. So the T receives $160 million in addition to 1 penny and the 5 cents. So bottom line is we were able to be given more revenues. In addition, the T has begun to take steps to improve our finances on the expense side. So we're beginning to move all of our employees into the GIC, the healthcare system, which will reduce our cost.
I'm sorry to interrupt you on that, but
no.
Let me ask you about
sure.
that. So you're beginning that process,
right.
But that's a very contentious process, I believe. Wasn't there not a lawsuit that was brought by the Carmen's Union and other T employees to prevent that from happening?
That's right. So we have 29 unions. Three were automatically moved into the GIC at about a $2-3 million savings. The rest of the 26 will be moved in once we complete collective bargaining with them, which I hope will be this year, but it's likely to probably be next year. There is a lawsuit that's going on right now. I respect that process. I know the Carmen's Union and others are doing what they're supposed to do, which is do the best interests of our membership. We think we will win that lawsuit. It will probably be appealed, and we're very comfortable, if you will, that we'll win that as well.
All right. Well, you know what? I want to get as many of the writers'
yes.
voices in here as possible while we've got you. You can ask your question of Richard Davey. He's the MBTA general manager. The number to call is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I've been on the T enough to know that there are a lot of people out there with a lot of questions. And let's go to the first one. Danielle is calling from Watertown. Welcome to Radio Boston, Danielle.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. So what's your thought?
Well, I had lived in Quincy for 2 years. I took the T to, I'm a graduate student at BU. I took the T every day. And I finally moved out to Watertown because the red line broke down so many times it made my commute completely unreliable. There was one night where I was stuck at South Station for several hours until I could get the commuter rail home because the red line had broken down. And I was just wondering if our guest had any comments or hope for me about whether the T will get better so that I could move back onto a subway line again.
Danielle, stick with us. Let's get Richard Davies' response to that.
So I have a lot of hope for you, Danielle. First of all, I am a customer myself. I take the Green Line every day, both to and from work. I actually took it out here to the studio. I take the T as much as I possibly can. So I personally have a lot of hope for you. On the Red Line in particular, a couple of things. Right now, actually, at North Quincy, we're spending some ARRA stimulus funds improving the platform. If you had spent any time out there, that platform had cracks in it. We've been spending some time and effort out there over the last couple of nights. We'll continue to do that. On the Red Line reliability in particular, a few things. We'll be launching, actually, we started this past Monday, an in-house rehab program of 57 of our oldest Red Line cars, which have been around, frankly, longer than I've been around, longer than you've been around. So that's a critical piece for us. We'll be procuring, we hope, new Red Line cars in the near future, but spending money on the current equipment is key. Last point I want to make is on the signal systems and the power systems in the Red Line, old, and we're spending more time and energy in the subway system trying to fix those pieces. Not sexy stuff, not ribbon cuttings, not a lot of the press, if you will, but really sort of the backbone of the system we're spending a lot more time on.
Well, on those signaling systems, and yeah. Danielle, I want to get back to you in just a second, so hang in there with me. But I understand that one of the major ones down in the Quincy area in Braintree, I mean, it was custom built for the MBTA, so the cost of fixing that is in the many tens of millions of dollars. Is it not? Does T have money to actually upgrade that?
Well, we're not upgrading the signal system. The signal system is generally okay on the Braintree side. It's the downtown core, the subway system in particular, and the tunnels, for example. The power systems are fairly old. I know certainly your listeners know this. There was a serious fire at Downtown Crossing in April that occurred in the Red and Orange Line area. That was largely because the power cables were so old. So mm-hmm. We haven't spent enough time in the real heart of the system fixing it and upgrading it. We're doing that. We're bringing on actually a capital maintenance team. It's going to spend the next 2 years between subway runs, pretty much between midnight and 5 a.m. in the tunnels fixing things.
So, okay. So you're saying, Danielle,
there is hope.
It seems like Richard Davies is trying to give you reason to join the Red Line commuter brigade again. But Danielle, let me ask you, do you drive to work now? Are you no longer taking the T to get in and out of town?
No, I take the bus sometimes. I try to drive, but it seems like every time I drive in, I get a parking ticket, even though I swear I put money in the meter. So it's like, it's hopeless for me with Boston and transportation.
Well, so. Yeah, cause I ask you because, you know, it sounded like you really want to live in a place that's transit friendly and that having a T that's reliable to you is important for your quality of life. That's kind of what I'm hearing. I just want to be sure I was right on that.
Absolutely. I feel like it's good for the environment. I don't want to sit in traffic. I'd love to be able to take public transportation more often.
Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here from Lauren in Cambridge. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lauren.
Hi, Magna. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thanks so much. Great to have you today.
I wanted to tell listeners about nextbus.com. It's totally changed my life since I discovered it about 3 weeks ago. I'm a big number 1, 47, 66, and 57 bus rider. And knowing when the next bus is coming totally changes things for me.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Lauren, but is NextBus something that's like a smartphone app that you can carry around with you?
Well, it's a website, and I use it on my smartphone all the time, but I've used it on my desktop too. And you can look at any route and any stop, and there's actually there's GPS information for all the buses. So it tells you where when they anticipate the next bus arriving. And I found it to be very accurate, but I've only been using it for a few weeks.
Lauren, thank you so much for your call. So in the wintertime, especially, hopefully no more cold waits outside. Richard Davey, MBTA General Manager. This is part of the T's push to get a lot of data out there into the world for developers to use.
This is absolutely the governor's initiative on open source data, open government. So we launched last November 5 bus routes, including the number 1, I think, that Lauren mentioned from she must be in Cambridge, given her numbers she was rattling off. So when we rolled those out to great success. We rolled them out and asked the developer communities in Boston and Cambridge and Somerville to help us do that. So these desktop applications, the applications for your iPhone, your Android, even there was a phone number produced, and a couple of stores actually produced their own signs, countdown signs. So it's been a smashing success. We've rolled out now all but a couple of bus routes now. We don't endorse any applications necessarily, but there are a whole host that I'd encourage you to look at. We have finally answered the question, where is the bus?
Richard Davies, stand by because we know you're going to be here with us after our 1 minute break, because also when we come back, we'll hear from the voice of the MBTA, that voice that you hear on the trains, and he'll help us indulge in a little bit of Green Line Extension fantasy.
Next stop, Somerville.
Oh, to ride the Green Line and perchance to dream. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking with MBTA General Manager Richard Davey. He's been on the job just since March, and in that time, the agency has come back from the brink of fiscal collapse and reported a tiny surprise surplus. Nonetheless, service is still racked with problems at the MBTA, and not at the least of which because of its gigantic debt. But listeners, if you're an MBTA writer, what is your question for Richard Davey? And also, let me just ask you this question. When you step back, can you imagine Eastern Massachusetts without this critical system? What would your life be like with a diminished MBTA? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, Richard Davey, before the break, we actually heard from some people who felt pretty good about riding the T and the bus especially. But let me ask you, last year in November of 2009, David D'Alessandro, he was put in charge by Governor Patrick to release a report on a top-to-bottom evaluation of maintenance projects at the MBTA, and it was a scathing report when it came out, November 2009. He listed 50-plus deferred maintenance projects that were classified, quote, as a danger to life or limb of passengers and or employees. And then he went on to, you know, make clear to people that the T spends $470 million on maintenance every year, but still needs an additional $200-plus million to keep that maintenance backlog from growing. So my first question is, those 50 projects that are a danger to life and limb, how many of them have actually been taken care of?
Well, a couple of things. First, actually, David D'Alessandro's report was actually not about the life and limb capital projects. It was about the long-term financial health of the MBTA. So his report does talk about how back in 2000, when Ford funding was enacted, that the T's financial health basically was assumed to be okay as long as the sales tax grew 3% every year. That didn't happen. So he talked a lot about the finances. Particularly to your capital question, I think what he also found is that it was a flawed process. These 50 projects were not of life and limb. They were not of such that there was an imminent safety issue. It was unfortunately a way, I think, for some to classify these projects to get them to get attention, if you will, within the authorities.
But so, nevertheless, the attention that he drew was to the fact that the maintenance backlog is enormous the T, and the T doesn't even have the money to keep up with it.
Well, so what we've done is, for the first time ever, the capital plan, the T has a 5-year capital plan, and I encourage your listeners to look at it. It's on our website. It's a public process. We go through a public hearing each year so folks can weigh in on that. For the first time ever, two things are occurring in the next 5 years. One is 99% of our state of good repair, of our capital plan, is dedicated to state of good repair. That means taking care of the current infrastructure. Green Line Extension, South Coast Rail, those will become obligations of the Commonwealth, not the MBTA. Second point, for the first time ever, the capital plan over the 5 years actually reduces our debt very modestly, but it begins to reduce our debt. With that said, there are still capital programs. I mean, as the first caller talked about with the Red Line cars, I'd much rather be buying new Red Line cars. I can't do that right now, so I have to fix the ones we have. But it is a challenge. It's not a challenge unique to Boston. We had a number of transit chiefs in town in May for a summit. We talked a lot about the same issues, which is these are mature systems. New York, Boston, Chicago, Washington, D.C. has been around now 40 years, is having its challenges. So making sure that we're not only dedicating enough resources to the current infrastructure, but then also some of the expansion projects. We haven't done a good job of that the last few years. We're doing a better job now.
Mature seems to be a polite way of putting it here.
Old?
Yeah, the T is like the
Sisyphus
of transit systems trying to push all that maintenance backlog up a hill. But let's get a lot of callers in here because we've got a lot of people who want to join us. Essie is calling from just around Copley Square. Welcome to Radio Boston, Essie.
Hi, Meghna. For a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, we're delighted to have you. So what's your thought today?
I own a business in the Back Bay train station, and I just had two major concerns that I was wondering if Mr. Harvey can comment on. One is the air quality of the Back Bay station ground level, especially on the Amtrak side, if anything's being done about that. And second is during heavy rainstorms, we have rain coming from above causing flooding in our stores, and if anything's being done about the roof situation over there at Back Bay Station.
Essie, thanks so much for your call. Richard Davey.
Essie, the answer is yes on both. Let me tell you about the roof first. Our board of directors awarded a contract last week to take care of that leaky roof. You'll probably see contractors out there in the next 30 days. It will be complete and fixed before the winter. So good news there. I actually live in the Back Bay. I am at that station regularly, so I know what you're talking about. The leak can be very difficult. On the air quality question, first, we've done a lot of testing. So the air quality itself, while not great, is not noxious or toxic to individuals. So I just want to point that out. It's not a safety issue, but it's certainly inconvenient, to say the least. The MBTA has also procured about $3 million in stimulus funds to improve the ventilation system. I will be quite honest. There's been a he said between Amtrak and the T for about 20 years or so about who's responsible for the ventilation there. Whatever. That discussion's over. We've got the money. We're going to fix that. That will probably take us another 12 to 18 months. But the leaky roof will be taken care of in the next 60 to 90 days.
David's on the line from Newton. Welcome to Radio Boston, David.
Hi, Meghna. Very important topic. My question is this. I think there's a sort of a chicken and egg problem about ridership. I'm a someone who lives in Newton, works in downtown, and folks don't ride because when you get past about 5:30, trains really thin out. If you miss the 5:30 to get to anywhere in my area going much further out, you have to wait another hour and then another hour after that. And then if you work your regular hours, about 8 o'clock they fall off. So I'm wondering if you have plans to actually beef up the schedule and draw more people to become regular riders.
Well, in terms of when you say trains, maybe commuter rail and a Worcester line,
commuter
I think?
Commuter rail,
yeah. Yeah, so,
yes.
So the answer to your question is yes. On Worcester in particular, going out to Newton, Wellesley's, and beyond, as you know, we don't own that line. CSX owns from Framingham to Worcester, and in addition has trackage rights in Boston. So we're a little limited in what we can add. However, Governor Padgett and Lieutenant Governor Murray, by the way, who's been just the quarterback behind getting that deal done. We purchased a number of the CSX assets 2 months ago, the Fall River New Bedford assets, and another piece, the Grand Junction over the Charles River, and a piece down near the Convention Center. We will close on the rest of the line. My point is the Commonwealth will own the entire Worcester line, we hope, by 2012. And at that point, we're planning on adding 20-plus trains on the Worcester line, which means you'll have a lot more traffic back and forth. So that's good news. Just in terms of other commuter rail projects, we're double-tracking Fitchburg. We're double-tracking Haverhill. What does that mean? It means right now it's kind of a one-way street, mm-hmm. and trains have to wait for other trains to come by. Double-tracking is critical. So double-tracking for Fitchburg and Haverhill will give us opportunity to add some more service in the future. And then finally, quickly, we're buying a lot of new equipment, again, under our capital plan. So we're buying locomotives and new coaches, again, to provide us with the opportunity to add more service as ridership dictates.
Richard Davey, we've got a tweet here from Kay Gilnack, who asks, I hope you'll have a chance to talk about long-term financing solutions for the MBTA. And that was actually one of my questions, because overarching our entire conversation and seemingly every aspect of the T is that still $5-plus billion in debt that the T has to deal with, and the fact that almost 30% of the money that the T has for its operating budget is spent on paying off this debt.
Right.
It is the millstone around your neck. Is there any progress on that issue?
Well, I think there has been. And so for a few things. One is, as you pointed out, you know, we hit for the first time in a long time in the black budget without having to refinance debt. I think that's important. You know, first, before we could talk about the $8.7 billion in debt, we need to do a better job of managing our own house. I've challenged all of my department heads for the first time. They've never had goals, by the way. The department heads now have goals. 2%.
Never had goals.
So beating their budgets by 2% this year is the mantra. So coming in, which would save us about $24 million. Again, not going to shatter the world, but it's important for us to be managing our finances. Reform, transportation reform, that continues to take hold. So the GIC I talked about, we just went to single-person train operations in the Orange Line. Not earth-shattering for transit agencies, but a little earth-shattering for the T. We're thinking about different ways how to deliver service. That's a few million, $3 million savings. This year, we have a balanced budget in fiscal year 11, which is pretty extraordinary given that the T is the only major transit agency in America that hasn't had to cut service or raise fares. Long-term, there are difficult questions. They're absolutely tough questions we need to grapple with. With $8.7 billion in debt, we're looking at monetizing or leasing some of our non-core assets. For example, land. We're the second largest landowner in Massachusetts. Is there a way that we can divest ourselves of that and pay down debt? So we're looking at other creative financing to get rid of what I call our non-core businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're focused on right now. What can we do with our own house? How can we continue to manage and implement transportation reform? And then what are some of our non-core assets that we can get rid of to pay down debt?
Listeners, just to be clear, you heard two numbers there. The $5 billion, the principal
correct.
On the debt, and
that's right.
an additional $3 billion for a total of $8 billion
that's
in
correct.
Debt, which is a mind-boggling number,
yes.
Richard Davey. But Richard Davey, MBTA General Manager, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. And listeners, I'm so sorry we couldn't get to all of you as well. But do post your questions on our website, wbur.org/Boston. I'm going to ask Richard Davey if we can forward them to him now, and then maybe we can post your
forward
responses
them to me. You can,
on the web
you
as well.
You can forward those to me. You can also tweet me. I have a Twitter account, which is, I think, MBTAGM. And you can also email me at gm@mbta.com. There are no and I respond, by the way, myself on the Twitter account most of the time. There's a staffer who will occasionally do it for me, but I'm pretty obsessed with answering it myself.
We've got a tweeting GM
yes,
here.
Indeed.
But definitely, if you put your questions up on wbur.org/Boston, we will send them to the MBTA, and we will post the responses from Richard Davey. Richard Davey, MBTA General Manager, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us
Thanks for
today.
Having me. Appreciate it.